Hello and welcome back to Dial H for HeroClix. I'm your host, Calder Ness. This week, I'm back from Adepticon, so we're chatting all things Adepticon. That's 300 Modern, that's Supercharged Sealed, Battle Royales, and of course, all the cool con exclusives that we got to see over the weekend. This is episode 510. Howdy, howdy, let's get rowdy.
So if you're looking for emotional satisfaction, my advice to you is seek professional
HeroClix.
No.
I have the high ground.
Ooh, yeah, you may have the high ground.
It's over, Simeon.
Yeah.
Instant deadpan humor.
Six people think I am funny.
I'm your Captain America.
That was just you in a costume.
You absolute fool.
Simeon will be able to edit that out.
That's cool because it's expensive.
I'm going to make HeroClix like that forever.
Are you kidding?
Wow, wow, wow.
Dial H for HeroClix is brought to you by CoolStuffInc.com, where you can find cool stuff in stock every day, including all the latest HeroClix singles and sealed products. Make sure you check them out at CoolStuffInc.com. Use code DIAL5, D-I-A-L-5, for 5% off your CoolStuffInc order. And if you want to buy some things straight from the source, you can go to shop.wizkids.com. And this is not available with pre-orders or special promos or anything, but you can use code DIALH10 for 10% off your shop.wizkids.com order. And if you're like me, then you bought yourself a brick of Justice League Time Masters or Jurassic League or whatever you want to call it. All I care about is Jurassic League. But right now they do have a promo that is not necessarily a Dial H related thing, but I'm just shouting it out because I like it. It is you buy a brick of the Time Masters set and then you get a free super booster along, like in addition to the super booster that already comes in your brick. And I think that is a freaking phenomenal deal for how cool those things are. So, yeah, check it out. Anyways, joining me like always in the studio is Simeon Bruce. What's going on, Simeon?
Oh, you know, another day.
Another day. Another.
Once again, hope for dawn.
Snowy. Snowy day for some reason.
Yeah, only yippee. To be met with overcast shadows and gray. Today was a rough day, man.
Yeah, it was rough.
Bad weather. Not out of nowhere. We saw it coming. No. It wasn't really trending upwards, but bad weather. Real bad. Bad job, Nebraska. Do better.
Yeah, no kidding. I thought it was spring. I thought we were in springtime here, fellas.
Oh, no, no.
What's
Nebraska
going on?
Does not respect March as a spring month.
Ah, I see. I see.
March is definitely a Nebraska winter.
Well, then here we are, I guess. Yeah, there was the rain coming in Monday, Sunday, and then we got just straight up ice and snow. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. At least we're not Western Nebraska. They get it way worse.
Do they?
They're like constantly blizzard, interstate shut down. We just get like some stuff, but.
Well, shoot, you know what? Lucky for us. Simeon, what made you happy this past week, my man?
What made me happy this past week, I've been getting a bunch of new music. I've got some friends that have been recommending some stuff. I've been recommending some of my things, which I think is the same thing I recommend pretty much everyone at this point. The same, like, three artists. If you don't know, then listen to any of, like, the last, I don't know, four episodes. I probably mention them. But just a lot of new music. Have you heard of this? Let's see. Let me look it up real quick. Because I don't want to get this wrong, artist.
Okay.
Olivia Rodrigo. Have you heard of this artist?
I have heard of her, yes.
I keep getting suggested Olivia Rodrigo. Not the biggest fan. She's got a good voice. Great talent. Not super into it. Just not my sound. But I've been suggested this multiple times. And at this point, I have to assume that I'm just being bullied with this suggestion. Because one of the songs is named Obsessed, and when I get suggested that song over and over again, I'm like, who's really obsessed? Is it Olivia? Is that who it is? Or is it the person that keeps sending it to me?
Oh, I see.
Who knows?
There's definitely some obsession happening.
Yeah. Wish it was more Inception. Or maybe that is what it is.
Ooh.
Maybe next week I'll say how much I love listening to Olivia Rodrigo. But no, just music. It's been a good week because I've been finding some cool new stuff, some things that I wouldn't normally listen to. Been getting in with like a little bit of bro country. Normally I'm not like I'm not big into like the new age country stuff. I think I've said that before. Like anything like past the 90s don't typically doesn't like tickle my fancy, but like let's do a quick rundown of course I have Techno Train, which Matt Reed suggested a while back. I just finally added that. Coulter Wall is the guy's name. Kind of a fan of Coulter Wall. Not too bad. That's been my week. That's all.
Okay, right on. Well, I always like hearing everything like that. Love seeing the new music recommendations and figuring out what you're listening to. Do you have a Spotify? Can we listen to Simeon Spotify? Drop it in the podcast notes below, and listeners can check, peep the playlists.
Yeah, you can peep the playlists.
Peep the Simdar playlists.
Let's see, what do I have for playlists? Yeah, my party playlist is, I've been told by multiple people, that's just depressing. And I was like, well, I tried.
Oh, no.
That was like the stuff that I had that was more upbeat. So my gym playlist, it slowly grew from like more... Gosh, like it went from like a faster paced kind of like music, like higher tempo music, to just slowly like whatever I was listening to that week. Yeah, my gym playlist also just like severely like messed up. But yeah, I can be followed on Spotify. That's a thing I think people do.
I believe yes. Well, right on. Let's just go ahead, jump into some Adepticon right now. Before we get into all the crazy stuff that actually happened that weekend and a little bit about the trip, let's just go ahead and talk about some spicy, cool new figures. These were the Adepticon exclusives that we heard about a few months ago. And we finally got to see them at Adepticon. They were kind of shown off middle of the day Wednesday with, you know, some okay pictures and everything. And while Ian and I were driving down, we were like, man, none of these cards are bent. What in the world? And so I was shocked that no one had taken this picture before. But when we got there, we had to ask, you know, like Brian and be like, hey, why are the cards not bent? And he showed us pretty simple solution, bigger box. So. Yeah. I love the box, the card-shaped box. It's pretty awesome. Just guaranteeing that the cards aren't going to be all bent around is pretty dang slick. And I say, worth the extra cardboard. Because I still got cards from Worlds that, as I say this, I've forgotten about, are under some books in my closet right now. That I should probably, they're probably straight now, I'd assume, 6 months later.
I was cleaning my coffee table, and I had forgotten I have like a little tray that's just like a permanent fixture on this coffee table. I had forgotten I had put some gravity feed cards. I bought a bunch of gravity feed boosters, and I put the cards underneath that tray for like just indefinitely. They're still there right now because I saw them and I was like, I don't want to put those away, plus they're still a little crooked, so you know, a few more years under here is fine.
The gravity feed ones are always tough because it's all like the corners are all messed up. That's the tricky thing. The weight distribution, the corners, all that stuff. So yeah, the new boxes, they also all look like beautiful, lest the art be bigger and look cooler. So if you're a fan of keeping the box, I really love the King Arthur box. It has a starry background to it, which is really fun. And then it really shows off the little glimmer and shine on his sword and has this really cool shiny effect around him that I like a lot more. And then just like the Iceman and Old King Thor box that are just kind of like colors and stuff. And there's a lot of extra flair on the King Arthur box. But I'm going to really quick talk about the broadsword construct. And then, I don't know, Simeon, are you cool with doing Iceman and Old King Thor? And I'll just talk about the DC ones. Sick.
Yeah, the two swordmans.
The sword fellas. And dare I say, are pretty great to be played together. But you'll maybe draw your own conclusions. So the broadsword construct is a 10-point piece of equipment, and it does say equipment-sword. So we finally have a sword equipment that does not need an errata to be said that, hey, by the way, this is a sword, which is super helpful. It straight up says sword equipment-sword. So it is a sword equipment. It can be used with, I think, the X-Men. I kind of forget how their traits work. I don't know if it says XOS sword equipment or if it just says sword equipment.
I think it just says sword equipment. Then yeah, perfect. So like the way this says equipment-sword,
Right.
There's just like some equipment will be specific things, I guess. So then we can reference that instead of like they should have had equipment bike. Maybe they did. I don't know. For the health cycle and the motorcycle.
Perhaps. Ooh, yeah. Equipment dash bike. Equipment dash like motorcycle or cycle or something. It's indestructible. The named keywords are, of course, Green Lantern Corps. So if you're Green Lantern Corps, you get it for free, which is perfect. But that's not the only bonus you get. Its effect is Blades, Claws, Fangs, period. If this character has the Green Lantern Corps keyword, they may use Blades, Claws, Fangs during ranged attacks, which is pretty cool. And then slash slash, this effect is always active. Modify this character's defense plus one. Pretty interesting that a sword lets you modify your defense plus one. Maybe that's a kind of like a parry type idea. But it's pretty dang sweet. So this for normal people, is just a static plus one defense always. And then Blades, Claws, Fangs, which I think is a pretty solid equip. And then for Green Lanterns, it lets you pretty much just use Blades as a ranged attack. So you can running shot up and roll the dice and see how much damage you deal, which is pretty dang fun. So that is the Broadsword. It's also, like, massive, by the way. The Broadsword construct is, like, huge compared to other equipment. It stands taller than, like, some older sculpt figures, you know, like pre-XOS, House of X, like, sculpts. It's pretty crazy how big the Broadsword is. It's a sword in the stone. It's, like, in this asteroid, and it's really cool. So that's the Broadsword. Simi, if you want to just, we'll just go one each here if you want to chat about whoever. Yeah.
Well, Iceman. Iceman is MVP 24002. He's got the X-Men and Defenders team abilities, Champions, Defenders, Marauders, X-Factor, and X-Men keywords. He has 3-point values. You can play him at 100, 75 points, or 50 points. And each one's fairly, I'm not going to say like super unique, but like fairly distinct point value. So at 100 points, you get all 8 clicks of life. You start with a 12 for 3 with range combat expert, incap, 5 range, 2 lightning bolts, a special speed power that is sidestep hypersonic speed, so really boosting his range or his reach with those. For 25 points less, you do drop the attack value by and defense value by 1. So instead of a 12 and a 19, he's an 11-18, but his speed goes up by 1, which is interesting. And then at the 50-point line, he also has that speed power. That speed power is only on his starting lines, so it's possible if you played him at a higher starting line, you'd end up on it again. But not crazy likely. At 50 points, he does not have RCE. He loses RCE, range combat expert. I should say that for anyone that's not into the HeroClix lingo. From clicks 4 through 8, he has Empower. So on click 5, his 50-point line, all 4 clicks is just Empower with toughness. But he does have a trait that is the champion's leadership willpower. If all non-bystander characters on your force are the same point value, Iceman can use the following effect, matching that point value. If everyone on your force is 50 points, other friendly characters have flight and can use toughness. If every friendly character on your force is 75 points, other friendly characters modify attack and defense plus 1 and can use sidestep. And then at 100 points, if every friendly character on your force is 100 points, friendly characters modify combat values plus 1 and can use willpower. So those are all really neat. I think it's a very niche thing for the higher values, but I think at 50 points, for sure, giving all 50 character or all 50 point characters flight and toughness. It says non-bystanders, so you could still run some things. You could run like a... I think the Scott Porter bystander, the Scott Crampton bystander, those are both legal, spirit of the game. And I guess, we have a few bystanders in next phase that are coming out that are probably point costed. So if you want to run a team of 6 characters at exactly 50 points, you get flight and toughness for all of them. Or if you want to do, a 500-point game, if you've got 5 100-point characters, they all get plus 1. It's all very interesting. Then lastly, he has a stop click. He does not have one on click 2, but he has one on click 4. So if you play him at 75 points, he only takes 1 damage and goes to click 4, where it's stop toughness. When this click is revealed after resolutions, Iceman may generate a blocking terrain marker. And then he also has one on his last click, click 8. But I think his sculpt alone is probably the coolest part about him.
Oh,
it is
easily.
A very unique champion's Bobby with like the leadership willpower. We don't normally see Iceman with leadership, but yeah, the pseudo, like, if the team is all on even standing, they get bonuses is a really neat effect. I don't think we've seen before. I think this is a first for point value specific checking.
I think it is too. I like the building around characters aspect, and I kind of like a figure that's like you have to build the team around this figure, you know? So that's kind of cool. I don't think he's necessarily like good, but if you want to play like a bunch of 50 point X-Men, there's some pretty solid 50 point X-Men, if my memory serves me right, that you'd be able to make a pretty fun team out of them, you know? His stats are a little wild. This is like definitely not like champions Iceman stats. These are like Omega level mutant Iceman stats. Top
yeah,
dial.
That top
like,
dial
dang,
is very.
That's like, when's Iceman 13-for-4? It's yeah. Iceman. He throws snowballs at people. You know, like this is like Omega level mutant giant ice beam in your eyeballs type of Iceman. This is like, dang, this is a killer.
When Bobby froze over hill kind of thing.
Yeah, something like that. Because I'm like, dang, dude. Yeah, it's pretty gnarly. Speaking of people that have crazy stats, I'll just go ahead. I'll jump right into King Arthur here. He's like a contender already for like top 10 figure of the year. One of my favorite characters. And I haven't even played the guy yet. King Arthur here, he's cosmic energy and mystics. He is future mystical past ruler and soldier. Past and soldier, soldier's always been one of my favorite keywords, and then past is quickly becoming one of my favorite keywords, and then mystical has just always been good. He has a few traits here. Worthy of Excalibur, always. During forced construction, King Arthur may be assigned an equipment without paying that equipment's cost. If King Arthur is equipped with a sword equipment, modify his combat values +1. The dude is an 8-12-18-3 top dial. If you give him specifically, we'll just go with the broadsword construct, he'll be a 20 defense, a 9 speed, 13 attack, 4 damage top dial. And then with any other sword, he'll just be a merely 19 defense top dial. So not only does he get +1 stats if he has a sword equipment, but he also just has really good base stats anyways,
yeah.
Which is pretty wild. King Arthur here, he's no slouch. It's pretty gnarly. I like the idea that in older games, Silver Age stuff, you can give him like the Necro Sword, just a 15 point sword. It's not necessarily, it's still not technically a sword though, but you could also give him like a gauntlet or a cube for free when it's like 30 points. It's really funny. His second trait is 3000 AD leadership. When King Arthur uses it and succeeds, after resolutions, he remove an action token from a friendly character with the past or future keyword. That doesn't say adjacency. Leadership works off adjacency, but this one just says remove an action token from a friendly character with past or future, so that's anywhere on the map, so
right.
That's pretty cool.
Also after resolutions.
And it doesn't say... You're right, it is after resolutions.
Yeah, so it's leadership and then also that.
So it's some more token removal. It also just says a friendly character, and since he has both past and future, you can remove it from him if he doesn't hit his willpower.
That's true.
But he hits his leadership, so he's got a lot of great ways to keep your team moving, which I always love for a good leader. So that's really cool, especially something you want for King Arthur. And then he has a special attack power all the way down the bottom of his dial, but I guess his dial is mostly like a charge dial. He's 80 or 60. I love playing it. I love the idea. I mean, at 80, it's like these are easily 3 clicks that are worth 20 points. It's 3 clicks of charge, 8 speed, 12 attack, precision strike, 18 defense, goes on to a 17 after the first one of invincible, and then 3 damage that whole time for those first 3 clicks with perplex. He's 0 range, 2 target. Versus at 60, he's only a 6 speed charge, 11 attack blades, 18 impervious, 3 damage, he has prob instead of perplex. And then down dial, he gets some sidestep, outwit, and then invulnerability. So he always has just insane damage reducers, which is really good, and just constantly good stats with some sidestep later on down dial, which is really good with his stop click, which is Excalibur can cleave even atoms. Stop, //, pulse wave. When King Arthur uses it, hit characters are dealt 3 damage instead. After Resolutions KO King Arthur. This power is very flavorful, and it really makes me want to read the 3000 AD storyline. I've never read this from DC. I just like King Arthur, or the idea of King Arthur from Arthurian legend and stuff. So that's the only reason I particularly like this character. So I'm pretty pumped. But this little bit here makes me like, man, what? Why does he die? What happens? What happens to old poor King Arthur here? So kind of curious what that special power means as opposed for like the story. But he's a really cool 80 points. I really like it a lot. He was my number one want out of the weekend, and I'm so thankful to have one. He's just like one of those characters where I see the dial, I see the sculpt, and I'm just like, I don't know how I won't put this on every single team, because I really want to. I don't know how I'm just not going to constantly play King Arthur, because holy smokes, he looks so cool. He's got great abilities, great keywords that I particularly like. So overall, favorite Connolly of the weekend, and I love him. But Simeon, you can probably talk about maybe the most sought after convention exclusive.
Yeah. Not only one of like the cooler characters in Marvel Comics, I think, by like a long shot, but just also holding the Odin sword. Old King Thor here. He's got Asgardian, Avengers, Cosmic, Deity, Future, Ruler, and Warrior keywords. Plenty of keywords to go around. He's got Cosmic Energy. He has two traits. He's got Fly Mjolnir, which, I don't know, I can't tell from this picture, but does he have Mjolnir on his sculpt? Or is he just
He does not. He is just kind of holding up with a whatever sword. I don't even know what it is.
The more, like, more much newer Old King Thor, where he has, like, the Thor lost his arm back in, like, the Avengers, what was that, around, like, Original Sin and Secret Wars and all that stuff going on. So he's got, like, that metal arm holding up the sword. His other trait is, I'm still the Allfather. Old King Thor's combat values can't be modified by other characters. Safeguard opposing probability control. This is a really neat power, but it's also something you have to kind of be in mind. So, like, he can modify his own combat values, or equipment that is attached to him can modify his combat values. But if you have somebody with an empower or, like, a perplex, I don't know, like, baseball glove can give him ESD, and then he has a +2 defense from range because he has that power. It's giving him the power, not, like, the modifier. But, yeah, you have to be careful when like building with him, because the normal things that you could easily modify, like perplex and shield and stuff, doesn't work. Zero range, one lightning bolt. He has flight. He has improved movement through blocking and destroys it. Improved targeting through blocking and destroys it, which I assume that's to go along with his giant reach. It also works with his special attack power that he has on the start of every point value. So he's 11 clicks long for 200 points. Or he starts on click 4 for 125, or click 75, or click 7 for 75. The only difference power-wise on those is stats. So at 200 points, he has a 12 for 5, 20 defense with invincible. 125, he's an 11 for 4 with a 19 invincible, 8 speed charge on both of those. And then at 75 points, starting in click 7, he is a 6-speed charge with an 11 attack, 18 impervious, and 3 damage with prob. So that's the starting lines. But that special attack power is Might of the Odin Sword, Blades, Claws, Fangs, Pulse Wave. When Old King Thor uses Pulse Wave, you may choose a hit character and roll a d6. Old King Thor deals that character damage equal to the result instead of 1. So you can still hit a whole team, deal them all 1, but then just pick 1 and you get a roll for it, which, why not? Pretty solid. I say the only thing about this is he does not have running shot on any of the clicks where he has this. He actually only has one click where he has this attack power in sidestep. Otherwise, it's either flurry or charge. So it would be like a charge up, blades, or just deal printed damage, and then pulse wave next turn kind of thing. Or you can ride a motorcycle. I mean, do whatever you want with him. Then on click 3, 6, and his last click, click 11, he has the Spirit of Thunder, stop, invincible. When this click is revealed due to an opposing effect, after resolutions, deal 1 penetrating damage to each opposing character within 3 squares, which is pretty cool. It means you can't activate it, but literally anything your opponent does to get him to that click, I think, maybe, I don't know, there might be like 1 or 2 things that is like slightly around it, but for the most part, like attacks, poison, Mystic's damage. Like anything that would put him on that stop click will activate it and deal them damage back. Other than that, he's just a really strong close combat piece. He gets flurry on clicks 3, 6, 8, and 9. He loses his attack power on clicks 5 and 6, gets it back on click 7, gets it just regular blades 5, 6, 8, 9, and 10. And then, yeah, super strong defense values. I think he's a 19 for the almost majority of his dial, and then he's a 20 up top, goes to an 18 for 3 clicks, and then down to a 17 only on his last 3. Damage never dips below a 3. I don't know. Real beefy dude, really cool sculpt.
I think a lot of four damages in there, you know?
Yeah.
Strong, just straight up giant reach 6.
Yeah.
Kind of gnarly.
Giant reach 6 and being able to target through blocking and destroy it with seems pretty good.
He's pretty solid. Absolutely.
Sadly, but those if you were... play with Iceman, you can only play him at 75 to get that bonus.
Oh, yeah, I guess it would be. But, man, okay, wait, what was Iceman's bonus at 75? Is that, like, +1 defense? Yeah, +1 defense sidestep. That's pretty helpful.
It's attack and defense.
Oh, attack except and defense? Okay.
This Thor gets neither of those because his combat
can't be modified. No, he just gets sidestep then. Jeez, at that point, just play Steve while you're getting a sidestep. Just saying, everybody. Oh, don't hate on him. Anyways, but those were all the cool winnables from Adepticon. I'll just kind of run down our trip. We're going to do a more in-depth podcast, or at least we're going to try to do a more in-depth podcast where maybe we get Ian on, maybe we get Matt Reed on, the Dial H-sponsored player in Modern who got 10th and won Fellowship that day. We were really rooting for Matt Reed. He's a great, like, one of the best people in the community, honestly. The dude's such a great guy. And he was just building a really cool out-of-the-box team, the Master Mold team. And we'll just talk about that in a later episode and, like, the rundown of 300 Modern. But for right now, we'll just kind of talk about all, like, the side stuff, the trip, the overall feelings and whatnot about Adepticon. But the trip is pretty easy. As far as coming from Omaha, Nebraska goes, it's, like, almost I-80 the entire way there, and it's only about a 7-hour drive, ignoring tolls. And ignoring tolls only wastes... Really, it saves more than it wastes, but it's like maybe it's like a slower trip by like 20 minutes, like maybe. And it's like for not having to register some dumb thing online, some dumb pay-by-plate app or whatever for this one-time trip, it's easily worth not paying tolls to like burn 20 minutes and just not have to worry about any of that. So Schaumburg, pretty easy place to get around. Decent food options. Let's get all the Haterade stuff out of the way. Portillo's. Bad food, Luminati's or Lou Metalvo's or whatever it was called. Terrible pizza. I'm sorry, Chicago, you guys make lasagna disguised as pizza, and it's gross. It's a chore to eat. My heart is filling with, like, fat and cholesterol as I try to, like, muscle down one slice of your pizza. It's disgustingly saucy on top. I do not like Chicago-style pizza. I do not like it, and I'll say it right there. Fun story while we're on the pizza train, we were talking with Scott D'Agostino, and he was talking about Greek style pizza. And when looking up Greek style pizza, Simeon, the picture that came up was the picture that you got when you looked up the worst pizza in the world. Yes, it was the same. So the worst pizza ever, or like what you searched,
literally just grossest pizza in the world or something. Yeah.
I saw him past that, and I was like, no, go back. And I was like, Ian, that's literally the picture. And I died. Oh, I died right there. It was so funny. But, like, yeah, like, the grossest pizza ever is just Greek pizza. So you get a pass there, Chicago. Portillo's gets a big bonus for, chocolate shake ranking. Let's do that while we're in food here. I had 3 chocolate shakes on the trip, or should I just say 3 shakes, because one was a cookies and cream. None of them were chocolate shakes, but chocolate was definitely a flavor that was there. I apologize for lying to you, the listener. One of these shakes was a cookies and cream shake, one was a chocolate cake shake, and then one was a peanut butter chocolate shake. The peanut butter chocolate shake was from Steak and Shake, so obviously that wins because that just rocks. But it was actually, regardless of bias, it was actually the best shake I had. The shake that was the cookies and cream. We got that at Benihana, and I had never been there before, and I didn't realize you needed to order some type of entree or whatever to get like the chef to come out and do his like fun thing. So I accidentally just ordered sushi. No fun stuff happens. They just bring that to you on a plate. And then Ian and Matt got to have like the cool little show. I mean, I still got to watch it, but I was like, wish that was my food. It looks pretty good. Dang. But the shake was cookies and cream, and it was pretty bad. It was oddly sweet, like a fruity sweet, not like a cookie sweet, where I'm like, I don't think they used Oreos. I think they used some other, you know, black cookie, white cream thing, because it just didn't quite taste like Oreos that you expect in cookies and cream. Mm. It was very, very blended up. It was very, very smooth. It was not very thick, which is good. You never want it to be too thick, but overall, the shake was pretty rough, not exactly what I was hoping for after the long day of Saturday. And then also, it was $9. It was really expensive, and it did not taste like $9. So that one's worst shake. Coming in second place, and I'll say a much higher second than how low third place is the Portillo's chocolate cake shake. Ian did not care for the little cake bits in it. I did. I liked the little spongy cake bits. I thought they were pretty fun to munch on between in or between sips of shake. So I really particularly enjoyed the Portillo's chocolate cake shake. Slight negative points for there just being a straight up like inch of cake at the bottom of that shake, though, that you had to eat. I don't know if they just stuff the bottom with cake and then they blend some of the rest, or if they just missed that. But I was like, it's really hard to suck down the shake. What's going on here? And then I just see this thick black chocolate cake at the bottom of the shake, which was still delicious. But now you've changed it from being a shake to me scooping out cake from a cup, which is just a little odd. But I still heavily enjoyed that shake. So shake ranking, Steak and Shake, Portillo's, very last, very low last, Benihana. But one quick shout out, the Chicago style like pizza food, things of that nature, were very rough, but the restaurant that we went to breakfast a few times, the Egg Harbor, had skillets. Ironically, I ordered the Matt's meaty skillet, which I find hilarious, and that was just a great sausage, bacon, breakfast potatoes, and then eggs on top skillet. That was really, really good. Ian had the San Antonio skillet, which was a little spicy, you know, a little spicy for Ian there, you know, spicy for me, but good for Ian. And then Matt got attempted every day to order six or more eggs, and then he would like order something that had two eggs, and he said, oh, can I also get four more? And then they understood that as just giving him four eggs overall, which made him a very not very happy man for his egg consumption. Food out of the way, talking real Adepticon. Parking was pretty easy. There was plenty of parking around the Renaissance. We had to park a little further away in the secondary lot that wasn't like right outside the hotel, but it still wasn't a bad walk at all. Getting our badge was about 1,000 million times easier than getting a badge at Gen Con, due to obviously this being a much smaller scale and being a more focused convention. It literally took Ian like 5 minutes to get his badge. I had paid $12 to get mine shipped to me. I will not do that in the future, now that I know that is literally so incredibly easy, and that the line is non-existent on Thursday, the day where I think most people are showing up. Maybe that's technically Friday, but whatever. It's still just like, wow, insanely easy to get a badge. Does your name start with an I, a K, an S, whatever? Okay, go to that line. And what's your name? There's like maybe two people in front of you when we went. Boom, easy badge. They had a couple of great booths. They had a HeroScape booth. HeroScape is coming back. That's really cool. They had a massive play area for Marvel Crisis Protocol. I did not know the game was that big. That was really fun, seeing what was in and around there. We saw a ton of Beta Ray Bills on the board, and we were very curious, like, you know, because in HeroClix, like, oh man, seeing a bunch of Kongs on the board, so what does that mean? Or seeing a bunch of Carnage Surfer, but let's say you don't know what HeroClix is, you're like, why is the monkey on the board? You know, so we're like, why are we seeing so much Beta Ray Bill? What does he do? So we asked somebody, and he basically just said he's a very consistent, like, just good, reliable piece attacker to have on the board. We're like, okay, he's like the sack man of Marvel Crisis Protocol. Just very, like, we can rely on Beta Ray Bill. He ain't nuts or anything, but he's just very reliable, solid piece to use. So that was kind of fun. The convention is easy enough to get around. The HeroClix area, although we ironically walked past it because I was expecting to see the giant WizKids ball, which wasn't there. It's very sad. Wow. Very sad. But easy enough to find. A nice little area that's right by the bathrooms. And then even if those bathrooms are full, there are bathrooms like right in the hall that are super easy to get to as well. So very convenient location right next to the bathrooms had a little water fountain. So that was really cool. And we just got to kind of check out, play some Super Seals, play some games. Next phase is a pretty okay sealed set. I think during set review, I was a little nicer on it. Yeah, if someone pulls Moon Knight in a BR, usually that means they kind of don't win the BR, which is really weird. Even though they have a great attacker, almost every BR I played in, the person that played Moon Knight just got the least points somehow, some way. I don't know how, but just the way it happened. But it is also like an almost instant win in Super Sealed, getting a 200-point Moon Knight. You can't kill the guy in Super Sealed. It's really tough. I got him to his last click, I think, once in all the Super Seals I played, and that was super tough. The first Super Seal I played in, this kid, Logan, shout out to him, had the greatest pulls ever. He pulled both, because they kind of switched around boosters, he pulled both Tawert, Khonshu, and 200-point Moon Knight in his packs, which basically spelt defeat for literally anyone he could play against. So he won that one, and I was like, okay, someone just got ridiculous pulls, and I got kind of middle-of-the-road whatever pulls. I'm sure this won't be every Super Sealed I play. And then the next four Super Sealed I played in ended up being me getting some of the absolute worst pulls you could possibly get, and then someone just pulling Wong or Moon Knight or something and just getting trashed. But the best part is that that didn't actually matter, because the prizing was so insanely good. They dropped typically three of each con exclusive. Roughly, it would be like three King Arthurs, three Old Thors, and then three Icemen, or some combination of a few of them. And then also like Rainbow Superman, Watcher, Joker, and Thor Gwen were also all dropped. And like, I think one Venom God was always dropped as well. So kind of sandbagging last place to choose two out of eight people means you're guaranteed at least one of the new convention exclusives and then one of the other ones. Pretty dang good. Or getting like second to third meant you got like an Old King Thor, which was like the most expensive one or the most sought after one. So even if you did just horrible in Super Seals, like just got the worst pulls, you still got insanely good prizing. I was a little bummed that I was never able to secure a victory on Super Seals, because once again, I had probably some of the worst pulls imaginable, or at least close to it. Even when I pulled a chase, it was like Kate and Lucky, and I'm like, nice, what do you want me to do with this? I can't do anything. Even when I had like Trick Arrows on her and a Lucky to like generate from the sideline, it was still super, super rough. But the prizing was insane. I never walked away with the chase booster. Big bummer here. I'm sure I'll try to find one somehow, some way. The chase boosters are pretty sweet, if not a little funky. We'll have to wait. The bystanders still have the same funky problem as the ones in the pizza boxes, where they don't have text on the back. And then we need to see... Oh yeah, another weird thing is like the dice. There's only like one dice per chase booster. A little funky is what it is. I was like, oh, I'll just win two chase boosters. Overconfident me. That never happened. Never got one chase booster. But I do like the booster itself. It's a really cool little box. The Alt Deco. I'm just kind of ripping. Just kind of ripping through the days here. So let me know if you ever want to say. But the Alt Deco Werewolf by Night we got to see, which is like kind of interesting to off-putting, because he's just kind of like a hairy dude in blue jeans when he's not in black and white, which is kind of funny. But the Alt Decos exist. We've seen at least one Werewolf by Night. So that means anyone, I would assume, that isn't a Prime and has the Alt Deco means that there's an Alt Deco of them in the chase boosters. That also doesn't stop you from getting a chase, which is really cool. Carter was the one that won that Super Sealed, got that Werewolf by Night, and then he also got Spogroot in that booster, which is really sweet. So that's really cool. So I would assume like Jack Russell and Verusa, I think those are the only other, besides Werewolf, are the only other Werewolf by Night characters that would then get an Alt Deco. So be on the lookout for those, I guess. Or maybe even, it could be kind of wild if you could get like a Prime Elsa or Prime Man thing, but they're the Alt Deco to look like the normal one. That might be a little confusing, but I don't know. Could exist. Who knows?
Yeah.
And then a few fun side things. The Golden Demon is the... what's that game called? Warhammer, I think. That's like the main reason for Adepticon or whatever. The Golden Demon is the Warhammer painting minis competition, which was really cool to look at. I really particularly enjoyed checking that out. And then maybe more so because I'm a Marvel guy more than I am a fantasy Warhammer person. But the Marvel Crisis Protocol also has a painting competition. And those are really fun. If anyone's friends with me on Facebook and checks out my feed, I have a bunch of the Marvel Crisis Protocol ones up there. They're really cool. I particularly liked the person that made the Beach Heroes version of everybody. He made like Winter Soldier and Cable's guns into squirt guns. And then made Ultron, instead of like flying and floating with his cape, he was like serving a volleyball, which is hilarious. I absolutely love that. So I really, the Golden Demon stuff, the painting stuff is pretty dang awesome. And then one last side thing here, I got to see the, what is it? What are these guys called again? It's like the Justify, something like that. Anyways, the people that make Flapjacks and Sasquatches had a booth and you could spin the wheel. And giving away, they had some promo cards as well as a new pin, which I'm a sucker for pins. I own all the Flapjacks Sasquatches pins. And I also was able to get the duct tape pack and then the all-you-can-eat Flapjacks pack of cards, which are additions to the normal game, as well as I got the salute to Bill and John. This means very little. I don't know if any other listener even has played Flapjacks and Sasquatches. If you haven't, it's great. But the salute to Bill and John pack is hilarious. It has a card that says you just win the game when you play that card. And then it has a Swedish chef like reference card where you have to say bork, 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 which is, I think, hilarious. So pretty fun. Besides that, we played a few extra games in the hotel room. We played even more Featherlight, jammed some Featherlight, some late night Featherlight with Ian and Matt. Got to get you in on this, Simeon. Featherlight is a baller. Shout out. That's a WizKids game. And then I also got Matt finally playing Marvel Champions, which is a super fun living card game that I really enjoy. If you haven't played Marvel Champions, it's really cheap to get some Marvel Champions. It goes on sale on Cool Stuff Inc. like all the time. But overall, that's Adepticon. It's easy to get into. It's easy to register. It's fairly cheap. The hotel was 2 miles away, which isn't even the main hotel. But even then, that one was fairly cheap. And overall, like, way less hectic, way less people, but still equally as many opportunities. Well, obviously not equally as many opportunities as Gen Con, but still plenty of opportunities to play games that are obviously more miniatures-based and focused, which is what our podcast is about. Ooh, ah, miniatures and stuff. Yes. So, yeah, I loved it. Like, compared to Gen Con, it's just way less of a hassle. There's obviously less there.
It looks like a lot more room from the pictures and stuff.
Oh, dude, so much more room. Like, you could, like, walk down aisles and, like, breathe. You know, it still falls into the same problem where, like, people don't know how to, like, walk fast or anything in the aisles. Like, you know, or they kind of, like, stop mid-aisle, look at their phone. It's like, what are you doing? Don't do that. You know, but, you know, that's just people being people. But, like, man, it rocked. There's seriously so much space. So great. And, you know, I don't know. I really enjoyed it. It was great. It was an easy area to get into. It was a fairly easy area to travel to. It's the biggest HeroClix event, like mainline HeroClix event that's been near like us, which is always awesome. So I super enjoyed it. Adepticon was like an instant, like after going there for 2 days, it was like, wow, 10 out of 10. I will 100% be back here next year. Like, I loved it. I loved Adepticon. And I really hope it can continue to grow because they already thought, what was it, the initial modern was like 28 players, 30 players, something like that. And they're like, okay, well, we need to have more people. They instantly had to open it up because that filled up super fast. So hopefully that shows to Adepticon that, hey, HeroClix players want to go to Adepticon. They want to be here. Give us more space for HeroClix. Let's make it even bigger and better next year because that would be awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's Adepticon.
Adepticon. And, yeah, we'll get into actual gameplay and stuff, hopefully, in a future episode.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I'm glad the area sounds like a lot of fun. I'm glad there was like food options and stuff. It being a suburb of Chicago doesn't necessarily like paint it as like small, but I was curious like how small of a suburb or like, you know, how far from Chicago.
There, it was a, what was it called? I saw the sign. It's like 78,000 people is in Schaumburg. Right, 78,000. Yeah, 78,000 people are in Schaumburg, Illinois. So pretty big. I would think that's pretty big, especially since it's just in the Chicago surrounding area. I guess before we get too far, shout out. They did a really cool thing here, which we posted about, and then, I don't know, the post was very funny in the comments, I guess, on Dial H, but they were doing a Battle Royale champion, which it's purely like a bragging rights thing. It wasn't like an official championship, but people definitely, I don't know, it's a really cool thing to get a reward for being like, hey, you won the most BRs. And they did it off points. It wasn't just who won the most, but it's who had the most points. So first place got you 4, third place got you 3, right? Second place, well, yeah, got you 2, and then last place got you 1. So pretty simple there. You score last, you get 1 point. Score first, get 4 points. Playing every single BR overall, just try to win more. The winner, I believe, was Jay Patel, and then he had 11 won Battle Royales out of 16.
Which, really cool thing about this, about Adepticon, like the medals that he got.
Yeah!
Like, I wasn't super surprised when I saw, like, oh, like, you know, first place in this event got a medal. But then, yeah, I was, like, really surprised the first place in, like, the BR event side, like, whatever championship that apparently was going on. I didn't even know that was a thing, but yeah, he got a, like, massive Adepticon medal. Looks really cool.
And those medals were also for, like, first through fourth place also had really cool Adepticon medals. Matt got one for Fellowship. And, like, it was really sweet. I love the medals. I wish they, you know, in the future, hey, maybe do if they do more supercharged seals, the winner of the most supercharged seals can get a medal too. Ooh, not that I won the most supercharged seals. Quite the opposite. I did quite bad in all of them. But, you know, just throwing it out there. But I just love it. I love that there is... Because there's been people before that are like, yeah, I've won a lot of Battle Royales. I was pretty much the person that won the most Battle Royales. But now it's like, all right, prove it. Do it. Win them. Go for it, bud. You know? So it's like, put your money where your mouth is. Win the most BRs. There was actually people that dropped from Modern to pursue the Battle Royale Championship, which I find hilarious. Like, that's awesome. So, pretty cool. I think that's just, yeah, I think it's just pretty dang cool. So, BR Championship, getting these really sweet medals, Heroes Whose Players Love, trophies and stuff, in addition to, like, you know, prizing and all that jazz. So, getting things like that at Adepticon was cool. It also just has the Adepticon logo on it, which is a dope skull. It just looks, the Adepticon logo is so sick. So, it's a great one to have on a medal, and I love it. Yeah, shout out, of course, Lucas Van Aal, when he won Adepticon. Yeah. We'll get into like Modern later, but yo, shout out Lucas Tom Van Holland, South Dakota boy or Iowa boy, Minnesota something or other, but you know, plays in South Dakota. It's super awesome to see someone who's pretty much fairly local to Simeon, Ian, and I, and was a local and obviously a good friend of mine, like winning a major tournament. This is the first time he's ever come first place in a major tournament, despite obviously Lucas being a well-known name in the community and like placing really well in lots of tournaments, but him finally being like, yeah, first place, number one, that's awesome. So
right,
that was really cool to see.
Yeah, even was like second place in, or no, did, how did that work out in 2022 for Pulp? Was it 2022 Pulp or was it
silver? I know there was
silver, 2022 yeah. Silver. Was he the champion or was Dan the champ? Because I don't know. They decided it was like too late, and one of them got like some version of the prizing. The other one got the title. I think Dan got the title. I don't remember. But either way,
like, oh yeah,
he's done. Yeah, very very well.
Those were like yeah, Pulp or silver or something. But this is like the 300 Modern event win. So right. Pretty gnarly. But that's Adepticon in the books. It was a fun time. It was great seeing everybody. It was great hanging out. A lot of familiar faces. A lot of familiar clicks faces. Which is always a blast, and it was just an easy event to get to enjoy, to play in. Yeah, just crazy easy. Loved it. Love Adepticon. Can't wait to go back. I hope it continues to treat HeroClix well, and, you know, by proxy, HeroClix treats Adepticon well, and hopefully we just see it a ton. But let's go ahead, finish off the show with some listener questions here.
There are dozens of us. Dozens!
We got a handful, and by a handful, I do mean two, from the Discord. Real quick, mini Patreon plug. If you want to go ahead and support Dial H and all the things we do here at the show, you can go ahead, join the Patreon. As little as $5 a month gets you access to the Discord, gets you a token every single month, And then, you know, you get to hang out, talk with Simeon, Ian, myself. We have a great Discord community. That's one thing that, not even like bragging about it, not even trying to say, yeah, totally, our community is great, when it actually isn't. But a ton of people say, other people, you can ask them if they're in the Discord community, they actually really like our Discord a lot. So we have a great community of people, and go ahead and just consider supporting the show that way. These questions are from there. Tyler M says, if DC adds another Hanna-Barbera sub-theme in Masters of Time, would you rather see Flintstones or Jetsons? Really leaning into the time travel aspect here. What do you think, Simeon?
Flintstones or Jetsons? I guess Flintstones, because I don't know. I just don't see the Jetsons as like the kind of fighter type. I guess that, I mean, it'd be, I don't know. Flintstones, Jetsons. I guess I think I would like the Jetsons more. I prefer like Rosie, the robot, and like stuff like that out of the two shows. But I think Flintstones would make more sense as far as actual HeroClix go.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. I suppose with Jurassic League, I would be leaning toward Flintstones. I think I've just watched more Flintstones than I have Jetsons. So that's probably where I would go, is Flintstones. Little Wilma, Barney, Fred, little Yabba Dabba Doo action type of stuff.
Dino. Is it Dino or Dino? Which?
Dino? I think Dino.
Dino!
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's, yeah. Little Pebbles. A little bit of cereal. You could even do the later Flintstone show when like Pebbles and whatever are like older, like teenager level, if you want to do that. But it's pretty fun. Do this little slide down the tail. Classic. Just classic type of stuff. So that's what I would go with. So Simeon's Jetsons. I'm Flintstones. I'd be okay with either one. They're both solid. But yeah. Luke asks, well, it's over. Adepticon has come and gone. Many titans stepped up and drew their swords, and many were felled by the blades of another. Which is to say, yada yada yada, convention exclusives. Of all the 300 modern teams we saw fielded at Adepticon, what team do you think could best incorporate one of the newly released convention LEs? And which LE? And yes, saying just pay 10 points for the sword is a cheat, and I will accept none of it. Me opening HC units, as I misunderstood this question the first time I read it, I thought, which like convention exclusive would you say is just like the best to build around? In which case, I do think it's Arthur. I think he's baller. Tournaments, Adepticon 2024, choosing a random figure, random team. I really don't know.
Tournaments?
Sure. Matthew Ventura's team. I think you could probably swap out Blackheart for... Kind of tough. You can't really slot Iceman into any of these teams because he's very specific to build around, so he's just like a no-go.
I was
going to
say, Iceman could only fit like, on something like...
I really hate to say this, but I feel like King Thor's too many points at his lower to be useful. I really only like Arthur at 80... And at 80 points, you got to be like prime Spider-Man in this day and age. Yeah. So it's really kind of hard to say which LE you would swap into a team when so many of these teams are like no figure is over 70 points or 80, I guess, really is the highest point costed figure we're probably going to see, with Pat Fraser's the only one playing Spider-Man.
Yeah. Right? And also with like in competitive, I don't think Iceman has a huge, like, he would have to do like so much more, because not only at his lowest point, not only is the cost of two Scott Porters, he also doesn't work with two Scott Porters.
So, yeah, I think that's like the worst part. Yeah, I guess
50 point line.
Yeah, I guess I'm gonna go with Emilio Gutierrez's team and say maybe you could swap out Starbrand for a 75 point King Thor, perhaps. Or dare I even say, get rid of Billy Clubs on Two Gun Kid, and then get rid of Starbrand, and then just throw in an Arthur. But then, like, it's no longer an Avengers theme team.
Right. That's the other.
I don't know. It's a really hard question. Stuff, yeah. Really tough question.
Especially if it has Scott Porters and you break theme for one of these, then suddenly,
yeah,
that's a big change. Gosh,
it's a toughie. I think, like, a almost impossible question. Yeah. You then just make a team worse.
I think Arthur's probably the one that I would try the most. So at 60 points, Mystical. There's a few options of people that ran Mystical stuff. I don't really see, man, it's just, is it just Mystical though? Yeah, like you said, I mean, Arachnite with the Soul Sword, instead of the Soul Sword on him, you'd have that on King Arthur, and then you'd have an extra 10 points. This is Matthew Ventura's team. An extra 10 points on this team, what would that get you? Daredevil with Muramasa, Daredevil with Bucky's arm, Green Lantern ring.
Tough.
And also, like, you wouldn't play the Green Lantern construct on that Green Lantern, because... Or no. Maybe you would if you had another Green Lantern, but you wouldn't do it on this team because you want the constructs more than you want the range blades. You can't equip Kong, so the only option on this team would be to equip the other Scott Porter or Blackheart for 10 points. If you replaced Arachnite and Soul Sword with King Arthur and Free Sword, and it would still be Mystical. I don't think he punches as hard as Arachnite though, so then you have to kind of rethink your stratagem a little. I don't know. That's a yeah. I know. I would have just played 5 Kongs and then Iceman at 50 points. That would have been my team. So there I'll say go. That one.
Oops! All Kong and Iceman at 50. Kind of fun. And then that's it. That's all we got, ladies and gentlemen. So thanks for listening.
Yeah.
But make sure, though, for real, though, check out the YouTube channel this next week. We got a lot of gameplay from Adepticon coming your way. I want to say almost all of it is up there right now. And then, yeah, check out the Facebook if you missed anything. We have a lot of really cool pictures, as well as some end-of-day wrap-ups and some interviews with players throughout the Facebook feed on Dial H for HeroClix podcast on Facebook. So check out the YouTube, check out the Facebook for all sorts of cool Adepticon content that you may have missed.
Yeah. And if you want to pick up some HeroClix that you may have missed, then you should head over to CoolStuffInc.com, where you can find cool stuff in stock every day, including the latest HeroClix singles and sealed products. Use code DIAL5 to save 5% off when you do so. But if you want to go direct to the source, if you want to go to shop.wizkids.com, maybe get in on some of those cool promos and stuff that they're doing, you can use code DIALH10 to save 10% off your HeroClix orders. Doesn't work with Iconics, some specialty figures, some promotional, not, I don't know, it might work with promotional stuff. Pre-orders, that's what I was thinking. But use that where applicable, but also just check them out every now and then, because it is pretty solid deals, stuff that you can't get other places. It's still the only place you can get the white shirt Scott Porters, so not too bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for all your HeroClix needs, YouTubes, podcasts, and more, make sure you dial H.
So if you're looking for emotional satisfaction, my advice to you is seek professional
HeroClix
help. Ooh. Not going there.
That's how numbers work. Over okay, six yeah, people think I am funny.
You're Captain America.
That was just you in a costume.
Well, the rest of this case, it doesn't matter at all.